the day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now, here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another version, another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, a program. I guess I've been off the air for a while. I've got to get my speaking voice back again. Our show is dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, the secret societies, and the ancient Holy Grail mysteries. The Guardians of Grail was created by me some time ago in order to clear up many of the popular misconceptions regarding the Holy Grail mysteries, the Knights Templar, the Freemasons, and the other initiatic societies that have been perpetrated by popular novels and conspiracy theorists in recent times. In fact, you can find these misconceptions pretty much all over the internet these days. So, through this show, I hope to set the record straight with hard facts from authors and researchers, as well as with testimonials from current and past members of the Knights Templar, Freemasonry, and other initiatic societies. I myself am a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which was founded to revive the mystical rites and the wisdom of the original Knights Templar, which over the centuries has either been lost or ignored. If you'd like to learn more about us, which I hope you do, please visit our website at www.gnostictemplars.org. And there's all kind of information and videos there and books to buy, you name it, we've got it. During today's show, if you have any questions for myself or our guest, feel free to call toll-free at 866-472-5795. Today we have another very special show. We're going to be talking with Renee Barnett. Some of you will recognize that name. She's a producer and director who's best known for her recent documentary film, Bloodline. Like The Da Vinci Code, the Bloodline documentary film has served to open a lot of people's minds to the possibility that there are mysteries in the world that people aren't being upfront about. They're being kept from the masses, and it's inspired some people to go in search of these mysteries. In the film, Renee sent her partner, Bruce Burgess, to France in search of one of these mysteries. He encountered the Priory of Sion and went in search of the body of Mary Magdalene, which after some harrowing adventures, eventually took him to the south of France and the Rennes-le-Château area. I previously spoke to Renee about the movie soon after it came out, and now I'm glad to report she has returned to speak to us and give us an update about the Bloodline project and other related events that soon will be occurring. It's going to be an exciting year, apparently. Renee is a veteran reality television producer who for many years has specialized in entertainment specials, series, documentaries, and reality-based programming. Renee is now also the radio host of Night Vision Radio. Some of you might have heard her. And those that you haven't, please check out their website, which is www.nightvisionproductions.com. So, a great big greeting to you, Renee, and welcome back to the Guardians of the Holy Grail.
Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for having me back again. You're right. I think it is going to be a good year. I just feel very excited and hopeful about lots of new research coming out this year and things that have just recently come out toward the end of last year. So I think we're going to be in for a great ride this year.
Well, obviously a lot's happened to you since we spoke last. You and Bruce have parted company, and you're off doing your own things now. How did all that come about, and what are you two presently involved in?
Well, you know, as you know, in the film, at the very end of the film, Bruce says, you know, I've come as far as I can go. And as I was saying to you yesterday on the phone, you know, certainly appreciate what he added to this project, which is invaluable. It was great. I have been on this journey for, oh, goodness, more decades than I would like to admit to, because then you'd know how old I was. So, you know, although that's no secret, I don't think, to most people. But anyhow, I've been on, you know, this research journey for, you know, over 30 years, and I was into this material when Bruce and I partnered up to do some other documentaries. We had some colleagues that said, oh, you guys should get together because you've got some mutual interests. So we did meet and found that that was true. We partnered up, and we did several television program documentaries, and all the while I was like bugging and bugging and bugging Bruce, like, we've got to do something on the Renless Chateau mystery. And we were trying to figure out, okay, what is it that we will do? Because it's such a huge, huge area, and the deeper that you get into it, it seems like it's connected to just about everything. So what do you do? How do you make a film? Which part do you do? You take a slice of the pie and you make it? And so I said, you know, we just got to start out and do it. At that time, you know, we figured out that, or we felt, and there was a lot of speculation that there was something buried under the church at Renless Chateau. So we made contact with the then mayor, who has since been voted out. He wasn't very popular among researchers, I think. But we made an agreement with him to raise the floor of the church and look underneath, because there's been suspicion that there's either something very important under there or it's an entrance to something. Well, as everybody knows by now, we didn't do that. The mayor had a very adversarial relationship with the DRAC, which is the department which oversees, the governmental agency which oversees archaeological and cultural issues. And they had a terrible relationship. In fact, in a meeting, the mayor knocked the DRAC representative to the floor, and the DRAC representative then said, you know, over my dead body, will you ever, you know, raise the floor of the church, because he was so angry with that mayor. So we had to figure out, oh my gosh, we've already started doing this. We already had some, you know, people investing in the film. And so we, you know, just deepened our research. I came across Ben Hammett, who seemed to have discovered something quite amazing. But yet on his website, it looked like it was just too good to be true, too amazing. There was a tomb. There was you could see a shrouded body bearing a red cross. You could see chests of treasure, of gold and jewels and coins. And you could see, even more exciting to me, many parchments strewn around the floor of the tomb, and a huge, huge, huge old book which is rotting away in there. So I'm hoping that those items are going to be what really give us some more information. And, you know, because I'm not sure what analysis of that body will yield to us. Maybe sometime in the future we'll have a way of narrowing the identity. But certainly if there's documentary evidence in there that says this is Mary Magdalene or this is somebody else, or if it's about some other secret that someone was trying to protect, then that could be extremely exciting.
Well, I know you're going to disappoint a lot of people, including myself, if there isn't any kind of a follow-up to Bloodline. But we'll just keep hoping.
Absolutely. We're working on it. You know, last year was a terribly rough year for everyone, you know, I think. I had some corporate reorganization going on and everything. And then, you know, of course, Ben Hammett, who's the tomb discoverer, the rightful, and acknowledged by the French government as the discoverer of the tomb, he lost his young son last February 25th to cancer. And so, of course, there was a period of 2 years prior to that where, you know, young Sam was very, very ill. So we couldn't really move forward nor want to even consider moving forward, or pushing men to do that, until his family situation, you know, had calmed down and, he had the time that he needed to, you know, to work on himself, and then, you know, eventually go through the death of his son and now through that, you know, healing, grieving period. So, I know that he was anxious to put to bed the year of 2009, and as I can totally relate to, I lost my daughter in 2005 and forever that year. Anytime I hear it, it sends a shot through my heart. So, you know, I think Ben's getting stronger. His wife is doing well, you know, and I know he'll be back at it. And when he's ready, I will be ready. And he and I spent some time together just recently, along with our fun, crazy crew of ragtag researchers from around the world, met up over in southern France and had a great, great time trooping around. We thought we found another bottle. We couldn't get to it. We're not so sure now, but certainly going to follow up and make sure. But we had a lot of fun tramping around and had a lot of great conversations over dinners every single night when comparing research, and that's what it's all about for us.
So you're just going to keep plowing ahead without Bruce, and I assume you're going to be making periodic journeys over to Rennes-le-Château.
Absolutely. I tell you, you know, it's even if I wasn't making a film, I'd be doing everything I could, you know, to get back over. I had the privilege of spending 2 weeks over there just recently, and it's the first time I've gone that I didn't have to just work all the time and was able to actually take in the countryside, the atmosphere, the sights, the amazing clues and symbols and of the area, and it was just amazing. So I would go back even if I wasn't making a film about it. The mystery came first for me. The television film production came second, and partly to facilitate these kind of projects.
Because so it sounds like you have kind of a little circle now that you're working with, and all of you are very much interested in continuing this work of uncovering the Rennes-le-Château mysteries. Huh?
Well, we are, but amazingly too, the Rennes-le-Château mystery has tentacles that are very, very far-reaching. They reach backward toward Jerusalem, and they reach forward toward, believe it or not, toward the United States of America. And so this is my goal. Is, you know, we're going to be having a conference this summer that where all these researchers are going to be getting together. There's going to be some major announcements made about the research, at least three announcements, possibly four, about research will be released at the conference for the first time. And we're just so excited. I was talking to my associate who's helping me produce the conference as a young man in Washington, D.C., James Henry. And I was just telling him now, I said, okay, what's the minimum, you know, that we need to meet to just cover our costs? Because I don't care if we don't make any money on this, but, you know, I can't afford, you know, I've put everything I have into these projects already. I can't really afford to lose a lot of money on this. But I said, I'll be happy if we can just go and get all these researchers together and start exchanging information, because I think that we could really push this whole thing forward, because everyone has a different bit. Everyone has a different piece. And if you've been researching something for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and I'm just now coming up on that connection to what I'm researching, you could save me an awful lot of time, and you could, you know, save the research a lot of time if you say, oh, Renee, I've been already looking at that. Don't even bother with this. It leads directly to this, and I'll show you my research. And then I go like, oh, great. So that lets me leap then to the next connection instead of crawling toward it. Does that make sense?
Tell me, Renee, when and where the conference is going to be held, and what was your initial inspiration for organizing this conference?
my inspiration for organizing a conference was this whole bloodline research. I've been wanting to do a conference for a long time. There are a lot of conferences on these subjects in Europe, and I really want to bring this to America. And I worried that because a lot of these mysteries are centered on other continents, that Americans weren't relating it to themselves. And it really does relate very much to us. And with these new findings that are coming up that right here in the United States of America, I think it's a prime time to do this conference here and to show Americans how they are very much connected to these mysteries and how you don't have to fly to France to see anything. You can throw the kids in the car and drive up, you know, to, you know, Rhode Island, and see what looks like a Templar structure. You can go to Westford, Connecticut, and see the Westford Knight. There are other things that we're going to be talking about in the conference that have not yet been revealed that people can go and research for themselves. And I think that adds a lot more excitement and interest when you can actually participate in the mystery yourself and not just read about it.
So you're trying to kind of, in a way, bring the mysteries from Rennes-le-Château over, transplant them, and ground them in America, it sounds like.
I'm trying to ground the interest in those because the evidence is already here, and I'm just using that as a tool to spark the interest with people. I mean, of course, you know, I can't take any credit for these discoveries or for them being here, or for the fact that, you know, they are all related to these other mysteries. But certainly what I can do is what I know how to do, and that's disseminate information and do shows and do programs and things, and also add with my small contribution of research, whatever I can add to the conversation with that. But it's the idea that, you know, this is not just a European mystery. This is not just, you know, a mystery for the Middle East. This is a mystery for everyone, and it's all over the world, and it's certainly huge evidence now right here in America that there's much, much here to be discovered, and there's much to be revealed.
Well, I'm sure there's no mistake as to why you chose the nerve center of the country, Washington, D.C., as a city where you're going to be conducting this conference.
That's true. You know, I felt drawn to it for a number of reasons. Obviously, the symbolism inherent in the architecture and other places in Washington, D.C., you know, I felt that our founding fathers, you know, were trying to give us some messages, and they're right there apparent in that city. I also chose Washington, D.C., for a little bit more strategic reason, and that was because it's on the eastern, you know, part of the country, and some of our speakers and hopefully some of our participants will be coming over from Europe. And, well, I know some of our speakers are, and I already know some participants are, so we will be having people coming over from Europe, and I thought it would be, more conducive to that travel. But certainly the fact that we're having it in Washington, D.C., it will be the 4th of July weekend, which is also kind of interesting. And it'll be nice because they'll have the big fireworks display in Washington and other things. We'll be doing a tour of the city, of the symbolism of the city for those who are interested in that. And we've got a lineup of amazing speakers already, mostly solidly confirmed. I have one that's a tentative, but I'm pretty sure he's going to confirm once we figure out the exact plan and that we can present to him. And then we'll go forward from there. But
okay. Can you tell us who you've got lined up at this point as speakers?
Yeah, so far... from the Bloodline family, I have Ben Hammett, who's going to be coming and showing his findings. He'll bring a lot of the original stuff, the notes and things like that. he'll have a great presentation. He's really good with photographing and showing his materials. He's really good. He's very technical that way, much better than I am. And so he'll be having a lot of that to show. I'm going to hit him up to bring the original chest that was found with, and the Jerusalemite relics that are inside, the cup, the anointing jar, and the parchment inside the little alabaster vial. We did have two replicas made, and I have one of those. But I'm going to try to see if I can persuade him to bring the real thing, and so that people can have a look at it. Also, you know, we may or may not have something to say at that time about the tomb. It just depends on a lot of things. It depends on Ben. It depends on the French government. But if there's any news on that, we'll definitely be revealing it then. Or if we've gone back in the meantime, we'll definitely let that be known at that time. We're having, from the Bloodline family, Robert Howells, who is a great, amazing researcher into secret societies. He's worked for, don't hold me to tell you who they are or what the books were, but so many of the authors that would be recognizable to everyone who's interested in this subject matter, the heart of the research came from Rob Howells. Robert was the manager of Watkins Bookstore in London for a number of years, I think about 10 years, and that's the most famous esoteric bookstore in the world, and they deal with a lot of ancient manuscripts and things like that. In doing so, he dealt with a lot of, you know, antiquarian book dealers and manuscript collectors and people who would pay, you know, come in and pay large sums of money for these manuscripts and things, and he began to get to know them as members of certain societies. And in that connection, he made connection with the Priory of Zion, and he was the one who introduced us to the members of the Priory of Zion, and that was where how we were getting information from them was via Rob Howells initially, and then he made the connection for us.
Yeah, we'll have him on the show. I'd like to just put in a little plug for a second.
When is Rob coming on?
Yeah, we're going to have him on our show, Guardians of the Holy Grail, on the 28th, coming up very quickly.
Fabulous. Now. I'm going to have to catch that. He has a book in the works, as you know, Mark, which I've had the privilege of getting some advanced looks at. It is going to be really amazing. It's called Inside the Priory of Zion, and he's one of the few people that I know of, for sure, who could actually write that book.
It's going to be an amazing text, I'm sure. Yeah, you're lucky you got some advanced screening on that.
Oh, I know it. He's amazing. So we'll see what he's willing to give up to you on the show. I'll be listening interestedly. So we got Rob Howell.
I'm pretty good at prying out if I have to, you know.
Well, good. Good luck, you know, because he's a stoic little guy sometimes, you know. He can keep the secret, I'll tell you that. But we're having, you know, of course, Margaret Starbird, who needs no introduction, and whose amazing research of the canonical gospels, you know, has strengthened the research in ways that, you know, I don't think can even be measured. She's the person who started out to disprove these ideas as a staunch Catholic, and the more she researched using, you know, the New Testament exclusively at that time, she began to start questioning herself the story and started finding evidence in the canonical Gospels that there was a marriage between these two, that, you know, Mary Magdalene was certainly a much more important person than we've been all led to believe. And it all leads back to the goddess in one way or another. Let's see, who else do we have? Reverend Lionel and Patricia Fanthorpe will be there. And he was in the film, and he's a great and longtime researcher, along with his wife Patricia. They're a team, and I mean, they are some of the longest-standing researchers in the Renle Chateau mystery. And I just have been recently rereading Reverend Fanthorpe's book. I don't even think it's in print anymore. Somebody told me that they were able to find it on eBay, though, the other day. It's called The Mysteries of Rennes Le Chateau, and I know he's got a new book out as well. But I went back and reread that after having read it years ago, and I'm finding just new amazing information in it now because I'm further down the road with my research. So the things that Reverend Fanthorpe was coming up with 30 years ago are things that I'm just now understanding. So he's an amazing person. They're an amazing couple and an amazing example, you know, of the balance between the masculine and the feminine. They are such a great team. Who else do I have? I have Steve St. Clair, who you know, I believe, and who's in charge of the St. Clair Sinclair DNA Project. He has some new findings, which he is not revealing until the conference, about his research. So I'm excited to hear that. Scott Wolter, who is now known, most known for his new research on the Hooked X and other things, is going to be revealing some new findings at the conference. I'm having, who else is going to be there? Zena Halpern, who's a researcher of the goddess, and she's going to have some new information to reveal. And let's see, who else have I got? I don't want to leave people out. I'm having Richard Smalley. He is not. He's the one that's not 100% committed already. He's tentatively said yes, and I just need to call him and have a good conversation with him to make sure everything works out with his schedule and everything. And he is the editor of Gnosis Magazine, author of many amazing books, one which I particularly love called Forbidden Faith, and it's about, you know, the whole suppression of the, you know, the Cathars and the so-called heretics by the Inquisition. Really, really an amazing researcher and author and speaker. And, oh, I wonder if I'm leaving anyone out. I should be looking at my my computer, but I'm not.
Well, we're going to take a break in a moment, and I'll give you time to check your computer.
Yeah.
But before we take a break, maybe, Renee, you can tell people how they can know more, how can they can find out more about this event, and how they can register for it.
Absolutely. You know, we're you know, kind of letting the cat out of the bag on your show today, just you know, just quite by accident. I'm just going with the flow here. We have not yet announced it publicly. We will be doing so via press release within the next few days. We're trying to solidify the venue. It will be in Washington, D.C., but we're, you know, negotiating the venue now. And information will be available on esotericon.com. The conference is called Esotericon, and that's with a K. Esotericon.com, or you can go right to Night Vision Productions website, and there's a big banner that says Esotericon on the front page. You can click on that, and it'll take you right to the site. Right now, there's not much up there. I think it's just a, you know, a graphic, but we are adding information now. We will be having the speaker information up there shortly, and also all the registration information and all that. We're still figuring all that out. That's how early on this is, but we're committed to doing this, and we'll do it come hell or high water.
Well, we're going to take a short break now, and we'll come back and talk to Renee Barnett more about the Bloodline Mysteries and this amazing conference in Washington, D.C. on July 4th. You're not going to want to miss it. So don't go away. We'll be back in a few.
BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth. BBS.
BBSRadio.com, your source to a world of inspiring information, removing fear through communication, engaging, powerful, unforgettable. My name is Spider Turner, and you can hear my music right here on the BBS.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to new tracks from my new album Turning Inside right here on BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com.
We're back with the Guardians of the Holy Grail, and we're speaking to producer and director Renee Barnett. Some of you recognize her name as the producer and director of the documentary film Bloodline.
I was actually the producer of that film, and Bruce was the director. Bruce Burgess was the director.
Okay, well,
I don't want to take more credit than I'm due.
Well,
although
I'd
like to. I'd like to take all the credit, but I can't.
If any of you haven't seen it, you definitely need to see it right away. And it's on DVD. And if you're lucky, it's being rented at your local video store.
Yeah, it's Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, and it's also available on our film website. Please go there and buy it at bloodlinethemovie.com. There's some good information on that site, too, for researchers in this mystery. So have a look, and if you get it, please send me an email. Let me know what you think about the film. I'd love to get feedback on it.
Great. Well, we've been talking about a conference, sort of a Bloodline conference, if you will, that Renee is setting up in Washington, D.C. for July 4th. It will bring together all the leading researchers in the Bloodline field, and it sounds very, very exciting, very, very pivotal. And, I'd love to be there if I could. I don't know if it's going to work for me, but for those of you that can make it, I would highly encourage you to try to get there. And before we took a break...
I did think of one more person that I forgot to mention, and I would feel terrible if I didn't mention him, because he's very key. And do I have time to mention who that is?
Yes, go ahead.
It's Dr. Stephen Mizrak. He's a professor, adjunct professor at Florida International University in Miami. And he, again, was one of the, you know, foundations of the research, or he provided foundations. I remember when I was working in earnest on the project that just preceded the Bloodline movie, I was working with Michael Bagent, the author of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and Bruce Burgess, on a project which ended up not happening in terms of a film or TV, but did happen in terms of a book for Michael Bagent called The Jesus Papers. When we were working, preceding on that project, we were trying to steer the project, Bruce and I were, toward the Holy Blood, Holy Grail material, but trying to unravel the story in this whole René Chateau mystery. It's just like it's all over the place. And I remember, this is years ago, the one place that I could go and get a concise story about what is the Rinlachetto mystery? What are the elements of it? Was I found an article on a website called, I think it was called Morgana's Observatory, by a guy called Dr. Stephen Mizrak. And I said, oh my God, finally somebody sorted this out for us all. And he has provided, in my opinion, a great, great jumping off point for so many researchers. And then, of course, he's continued his own research, and he's one of the few serious academics, you know, a sitting professor who is actually giving this mystery the good research that it needs. He's got a good, healthy dose of skepticism, which I think is great. He's not trying to prove anything. He's just trying to find out. And his research, to me, is completely reliable, and I would absolutely depend on it. You know, if I had a question and I thought he knew the answer to it and he gave it to me, I would just totally depend on it. I would know he was telling me right, because he wouldn't say it if he wasn't sure about it. So he's a great guy, a great professor. A lot of people have been trying to meet him over the years. He's been very, very undercover. No one ever even sees a picture of the guy, and he's going to be speaking at the conference, and I'm so happy to be able to meet him in person. We've had some great conversation. He appears by telephone in Bloodline, but he's not on camera. So we're really excited to have him join us, and he's very excited to be joining up with all these other researchers. He's got tons of questions for me. He's going to put their feet to the fire.
Well, you've got me intrigued, Renee, when you say that there's going to be some special announcement being made during the conference. Are you able to say anything about that at this point?
Well, not anything specifically, and I can't tell you even which of the researchers, except as I've, you know, already alluded, Scott Walter says that he will have some announcements regarding his research. And at this moment, I don't know everything, because this is their research, and I'm getting information on an as-need-know basis. And whether this revelation that he's going to make at the conference is going to be the revelation of a new find or the revelation of something that he's made connected to what he's already working on that ties it into the mystery, ties it into, you know, the Templars, whatever it is, he says it's big, and from what he's done already, it's pretty big. So I think this could be something really amazing. And also, you know, as I said, Steve St. Clair is going to make some announcements about his findings or their findings in the DNA project for the St. Clair clan, which will be of particular interest to people that are interested in these mysteries. So I'm excited to hear what that's going to be. And then
I assume he's working to try to trace back the Sinclair or St. Clair DNA back to Jesus. Is that right?
I'm not sure. That is certainly not his stated mission. He just wants to know, what is the history? Where does it point? And certainly it appears to be pointing into some amazing places. But also there, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the announcement part is going to be. He hasn't told me yet what that is, and I don't know that I want to know it yet, because then I'll have to keep a secret. But I would imagine it does have something to do with that bloodline connection, the bloodline of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, or at least certainly, you know, something that points in that direction. But again, I don't know what it is just yet. All I know is that these guys were getting ready to make some major announcements, and they've agreed to hold them. I mean, they weren't ready just yet, but they're preparing to, and they were going to release them this summer, and they've decided to, thankfully, release them at my conference. So I'm really grateful about that. Plus, I'll get to be there and hear it all firsthand and see it all. So I'm very jazzed. There'll be another announcement, which could be the biggest of all, and I can't even tell you which of the speakers might be releasing that, because it's that hot right now. And I'm going to be doing some further research into that myself over the next weeks. And there may be bits and bobs I can talk about later, but right now I'm actually reviewing the confidentiality agreement that I have to sign. So I'm being very cautious.
Well, I certainly look forward to hearing about what's said at the conference if I can't make it physically there.
Oh, I hope you can, Mark, because it'd be a bomb. I have no doubt there'll be lots of people that you know there. And we're getting to be quite a little family, a little global family, and it's really a lot of fun. And it's also, it's just amazing to be present in the time where all these things are coming out. I mean, and I'm not talking about present at the conference, I'm talking about just in the world. It's a great time to sort of, it's almost like you're thinking, how could it be that I was so fortunate that in my lifetime that I'm in a, and I happen to be in a position to be hearing about this stuff, you know, how did I get so lucky? But, you know, maybe it's more than luck. You know, maybe there's something afoot here. And I guess we'll find out.
It seems to be a pivotal time. Of course, me as an astrologer, I'm always checking the astrological influences. And there are some very significant ones coming up in the coming year that would indicate that it's a time of beginning. Jupiter and Uranus, those two planets, both moving into the zodiacal sign of beginnings, Aries, is occurring this year. So it's a time of a lot of newness, a lot of change, and a lot of new beginnings. A lot of things are going to start now, I think, in 2010. Perhaps things that we thought weren't going to happen until 2012. I think they're going to start happening this year, 2010. And obviously, what you're doing is going to be a major impact on this. I noticed that in July, both Jupiter and Uranus are both in the beginning degrees of Aries, so you'll have the influence of both those planets during your conference.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have to apologize for my barking hounds here. The hounds of the Baskervilles. I'm working from home today. I woke up with a cold, and these silly dogs just keep fussing and barking, and I hope it's not causing too much of a distraction for your listeners. I apologize.
I actually haven't really even noticed it, Renee. So.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm a pretty loud mouth, so I'm probably covering it up. But my dogs are, I have a Templar dog. My dogs are named Scooter Pie. He's not the Templar, but Toby. He was an adopted dog. He was in crisis. He belonged to a lady, and she had lost her home, and she was going to take him to the pound. And I said, oh, no, I'll find him a home. I ended up, of course, keeping him. But his name was already Toby. And, as you know, I'm good friends with, Toby and Gerda Dobler there in the village of Rennes Le Chateau, and Toby is a Knight Templar. So, and Toby is German, and my little dog is Dachshund. So I said, oh, he's German too. So I started calling him Toby the Templar, and he has a little medal, you know, that he wears. It says Toby the Templar on it. I told Toby Dobler about
that. Dog every day, so that's great.
I told Toby Dobler about that the last time I was in Rennes Le Chateau. I'm not sure whether he was insulted or complimented that I had a dog named Toby the Templar, but I certainly meant it in the most respectful of ways. I love Toby and Gerda, and they are the guardians of Rennes Le Chateau.
Dog, anyway, to get back to the astrology, those of you that haven't heard about the conference that we're sponsoring, the International Order of Gnostic Templars, we're sponsoring a conference in April in Macerata, Italy. It'll be a conference.
Oh, my gosh.
We're calling together all the higher-ups in the initiatic orders, and the conference is all about reuniting all the secret societies back together as one. We've got a number of grand priors and grand masters that are attending this event. So it could be pivotal. Actually, the last time there was anything like this, I checked my history book, and it said there was back 1785, there was a Paris conference that brought together a similar sort of a gathering, but not since then has there been anything like this. So
Is it open to registrants, or is it only for secret or just
no,
like society
members? No, it's open
members?
For everybody. It's open for everybody. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, because we don't consider ourselves secret societies. We're ready to change that name to initiatic societies.
True, because it's not necessary to be secret any longer.
Yeah, we don't like secret there anymore because, for one thing, too many people get attached to that name secret, and it becomes part of some conspiracy theory.
It has a negative connotation. You're right.
Right,
oh, my gosh. Look, I got to go on your website and find out about this conference. That's amazing. I don't know that I can get to Italy in April, but I'm certainly going to look at the possibility because I was trying to plan a trip around that time to Rinalgento. So maybe I could take that into consideration in my scheduling.
Well, maybe you can also put in a good word in your radio show. That would be great.
Absolutely. And do you have a banner for it or anything like that? I'd be happy to put it on the website. We can talk about later, of course, but I will absolutely be happy to because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, well, you go onto our website and you can check it out. Absolutely everyone's invited to it. It will be the beginning of sorts because what we're trying to do is we are trying to remind all the secret societies why they were originally formed, which was to be the guardians of the Holy Grail path, the Gnostic alchemical tradition, and a lot of them have lost their way, and so we want to guide them back to their original reason for being, and we want to then come together as one huge organization that is the guardian of the Holy Grail mysteries. It's the guardian of the Gnostic alchemical path, which is the underground stream, if you will, that actually goes back to Jesus and Mary Magdalene and John the Apostle. So it'll be the beginning of this movement. We want to create an alliance of all the secret societies or initiatic societies called the World Alliance for Planetary Enlightenment. So we're pretty excited about this, as you can imagine.
Oh, my gosh, I can imagine.
What
things are happening this year? They really are.
Huge things are happening this year. So in a way, it's kind of like the beginning of the beginning. If the beginning is 2012, well, this is the beginning of the beginning, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, they're very, very pivotal, very pivotal. And like I said, a lot of new things are going to come into manifestation in the coming year. So it'll be very exciting. And I assume that, will you be going back to Rennes-le-Château in the coming year?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not sure exactly when, but it's so funny because I've been talking to, my pals over there, Sandra Hamlet and other people, and she's saying, do you think, are you thinking about going back? And I said, I'm always thinking about going back. Are you kidding me? And I said, do you think that Ben's going in February? Because normally he does go in February. And she said, she did not know if he was going in February this year. Actually, after I thought about it, February is the month that he lost his son last year, so it'll be the one-year anniversary. And I remember the one-year anniversary of my daughter's death. I was in London meeting with the Priory of Zion, and I just remember what a challenging, challenging day and time that was for me. And so I'm giving Ben a very wide berth right now. And but we had a great time together in Rennes-le-Château, and I know he's going to be going forward, but it'll just be probably not quite as quickly as we all would have hoped, but maybe within the next few months it will be.
Well, what is the next step for Ben? I assume he's still trying to get into this little cave that houses the mummy that might be the body of Mary Magdalene. Is this the so? How is this saga going on? Is he getting more permission to get in there? Does it look like he might actually be able to get in there sometime in the near future?
Actually, it is not permission that he's waiting for, and it's really amazing how the French government has been so accommodating, because they were very well aware. They've met Ben on a few occasions, and they're very well aware of what was going on in his family, with the family tragedy that was unfolding. And they have kindly sent correspondences to Ben through us saying, you know, we'll wait for you. So basically, it's a matter of, first of all, I think it kind of needs to be the right time of year. I don't think it would be a good time to go in when it's super, super cold. The ground is going to be so hard and frozen. We're going to have to dig our way in there because, as you know, if you've seen the film, the opening that we have access to is just big enough to sort of thread a camera down through and shoot, which is what we did. But it's not big enough for a person to get through. So that has to be figured out, and I may be calling on Scott Walter to help out with this as a geologist to help figure out how to bolster that opening because it's straight above the body that's lying beneath it. So once they start trying to plow through that rock, rocks are going to fall right down onto the body, onto the books, onto the parchments, onto the treasure, onto everything. So we can't have that happen. We've got to figure out a way to protect that underneath or to bolster that so that we don't cause any damage. It's already damaged because there's been a rock fall inside there, but it was just natural. So we're trying to protect it. So all these things, once we start moving on it, we'll start calling in our group of researchers, our experts who are already interested. We have the DNA laboratory in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, who did our mitochondrial DNA testing, who is wanting to come back and go in first and get their samples before anyone else goes in. We have some archaeologists who are anxious from different universities to go with us. So we'll offer up all the resources we can to the French government, but they will be the ones who take the lead. It will be their examination, and we'll provide as much assistance and help as we can and be there to film everything.
Well, are you sure that they're going to want you involved, or is there a possibility they might just try to push you out of the picture and do it all themselves?
We do have an agreement from them or a letter from them on their official letterhead stating that they understand that, you know, we will be there to film. Now, what they've not agreed to is to any extraneous people, which I completely understand and agree with. But as it stands, you know, and I have no reason to think that they're not people of their word, I don't think there's any double cross in the works or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
I have every reason to have confidence in the French government that they're going to do exactly what they say they're going to do.
Well, I'm sure that you're going to want to film the whole dig, and that sounds very exciting. I hope you do and get it on DVD so we can all enjoy the adventure which we did when your Bloodline documentary and do you think that maybe that will be the follow-up for your Bloodline?
I think, you know, that's the next natural step is, you know, to get inside that tomb and examine what's in there and see if it is of historical importance. We just don't know for sure what's there, who that is, how old that body is. There's a lot of things, you know, that we still have yet to find out about the contents of that tomb. So that is the next natural step. Now, having said that, at the same time, there's research going on to find new clues, other sites. I don't believe that that's the only site, nor does anyone else involved in this, I don't believe that that's the only site. I think there's something else down there. I think there are other tombs. I think that there's possibly a bigger repository of artifacts and items. You know, there's a lot that's rumored to be down there in that region, including the treasures of the Knights Templar, which, you know, include some of the treasures of the Temple of Solomon, including the Ark of the Covenant and the Great Menorah, things like that. Now, maybe they were there, maybe they weren't. Maybe they were there, maybe they've been moved. There's also, you know, some evidence pointing that that material, those materials might have been brought elsewhere, might have been brought to North America, even might have been brought to the United States. So I think, you know, a lot's going to be coming out this year that's going to be very surprising to a lot of people, including myself. And so I'm just, like, buckling up and waiting for the ride to begin. Or I guess we're already on it, huh?
Yeah, like it or not.
Exactly. Well, you know, after we did Bloodline and finished it, I got a call from Nicholas Haywood one day here at the house, and he says, well, there are those who are concerned. He said, not myself, but others. Will you carry on? You know, will you go forward with this research? And I said, oh, absolutely. I said, you know, I can't let go of this yet. And we both sat there for a few seconds, and I said, well, actually, I think maybe it's not ready to let go of me yet. And he says, well, my dear, I was just preparing to tell you, you haven't got hold of it. It has got hold of you. And I said, I stand corrected. You're absolutely right.
Well, that sounds like that I know from the movie. Yeah.
I tell you, I'm just, you know, I think we are compelled to this research, I believe. And it's so exciting.
Well, sure. I mean, it's so obviously important. It's your destiny, and, you know, somebody's got to do it, and I'm glad it's you, because you're doing a good job with it.
Be a tiny part of it all. I'm thankful to just be a witness to it. It's great.
Well, is there anything else about Ren Lachuteau you'd like to bring up for the last couple minutes we have on the show?
I would just say to those, you know, anyone who has the ability to and the opportunity to go there, it is an amazing place. And I'm not just talking about just the village of Ren Lachuteau, but the surrounding area. Once you go there, I warned other people, if you go, you will go back. And I know there was a researcher in Portland, Paul Karen, who I'm going to introduce you to, Mark, because he's got some great stuff. And I did speak with them, and he wants to talk to you. So you guys will probably have a lot to discuss. And I warned him about that. You know, I said, oh, Paul, you got to go, because he had done all this research on Ren Lachuteau. I said, you must go there. And I said, but I got to warn you, you will be back. And he's already been back twice now, and he's trying to get back again. So we were laughing about that recently. It's there's something special about that place. And I'm not psychic, and I don't claim to have any kind of special powers. I'm not especially into New Age thought or anything like that. But there's something going on energetically in that region that is very, very special. And I'm not saying it's the only place in the world where you might find that, but certainly it's there.
Well, I agree. There's some energy that kind of grabs onto you there and keeps drawing you back. I'll be heading there myself again for my third or fourth time next September, and bringing a little group with me. So if you want to check out that tour, it's on sacredsitesjourneys.com. And
I recommend it to everyone who's interested in these mysteries. You know, that would be a great opportunity to do that along with you guys on the tour. You're doing that with Nancy Safford?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
That would be great.
We're stoked. We're excited about it. And it should be fabulous. We're going to also visit some Templar sites and Montserrat and Montsegur, and we're covering the whole area, and it won't be just the Bloodline. It'll be Mary Magdalene, the Cathars, and all the various mysteries, and certainly the Knight Templar, because that's what we're both Templars, both myself.
And they're all connected.
They're all connected.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, Montsegur. If you haven't made that trek up Montsegur, I tell you, I am not an athletic person at all. Everybody that knows me knows that. And I was so proud of myself for having climbed it. I climbed it with Bruce Burgess and with Michael Bajet. And I felt very privileged to be climbing it that day. And I thought I was going to die going up it, and I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack, and it's going to be so embarrassing. But I made it with no problem, and it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to be up there and to feel all the history. And I have a special place in my heart for the Cathars. My film company is called 1244 Films in commemoration of the martyrdom of the Cathars in that year at that place. And so
well,
I have a very
good... I wasn't sure about why you chose that day. Well, that's perfect.
That's it.
Well,
it's in commemoration.
We can talk more about this later, which we're going to have to do because we're out of time. Thank you so much, Renee, for being on the show. It's been fun, and except it's been too fast, of course.
It always is.
It always is, isn't it? Yeah, but we'll have you on again and have another great discussion in the future. And good luck with your conference in Washington.
And with yours. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to get to Italy. Oh, no.
Well, if it's meant to happen, it will. And next week we have Nicholas Mann coming on talking about the mysteries of Washington, D.C. and how the Freemasons used sacred geometry to create that city. So you're not going to want to miss it. And so until next time, always remember that the Holy Grail is right inside of you. Bye for now.